welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, we tackle in-depth the three tales told in the Energon Universe special released on Free Comic Book Day. Today is Friday, May 10th, 2024. This is episode 389 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's free for you but costs Megatron an arm and a leg. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Hello, everyone. Let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show and help us out. If you are not a Donatrion and would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. You get to watch us record the show live on Sunday nights before it gets released to everyone else. You get bonus content. You get automatically entered into all our contests. Lots of good stuff. Speaking of that bonus content, we've got several episodes of our bonus show, We Like Big Bots, available on our Patreon page. There are 12 episodes up there right now featuring Daryl and Dr. Pants down below there. See that guy right there? And they've got two more coming too, so those will be out very soon. You can pester Daryl since he's got to edit them and has not delivered his final edits to me yet. So once he does that, I will get those shows out there for everyone to see. Well, everyone to see if you are a Donatron. So it's, you know, gotta sign up for that if you want to see those videos.
They're pretty good. I mean, people asked us to make more. So that should be incentive right away to go and be a Donatrion and watch these.
Yep.
They wanted this. I'm not sure why. It's this.
Because they also like Big Bots.
And the face.
Yeah.
It's this that draws them in.
We've also got content for our Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. Season 3 is underway. That started back in March, and we've got the next few episodes out. Episode 114, Spider-Bots Maximum Webbage, came out this week, and that's available to everyone at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Then this Monday will be the early bonus version of episode 115, because you get that a week early if you are a Donatron. So stay tuned for that. That'll be up on our Patreon page. But for right now, episode 114 is available to everyone. You can also get our exclusive Skybound Transformers number 1 comic with the cover art by EJ Sue and our exclusive cover. You can get this at our website, transmissionspodcast.com/comic. It's $15 plus shipping and handling. Apparently, this is currently valued. Daryl told us this was valued at the comic sites at $30, but we're still selling it for $15. So if you are looking for this this version of Transformers number 1, you can pick it up at our website for the lowest price you will be able to find it. And you can also use our promo code at toyhacks.com and save 15% off your order at toyhacks.com. This is unlimited. You could use it for multiple orders as many times as you like throughout the month of May. You can see Dr. Pants showing off his Nova Prime that he got very nicely stickered up there. Take advantage of our 15% off promo code and got that sticker set for his Nova Prime. So you can do that too. Use that code MATRIX, MAYTRIX, and you can get your 15% off. Of course, it cannot be combined with other promo codes, but it can be used with your Robo Points. I forgot to put this in the toy show, but I did want to mention Goji Prime wrote in, thanking us for the for winning the Toy Hacks contest last week and getting the $10 code. He also said he was good with Daryl getting a laptop and using it for whatever he wanted. So I don't know if he speaks for all Donatrons there, but I don't think I'm on board for that.
I don't think we could afford a laptop.
Yeah. Maybe if we sell a few more comics, we might get over the line there, but I don't know. We'll table that. We'll come back to that. Thanks for the support, Goji Prime, but you know, it's dangerous to give Daryl to satisfy too many of Daryl's requests. All right, let's get into the show. And before we do the review of the Free Comic Book Day comic, we've got some pretty cool transforming pop culture. All right, unfortunately, Daryl is not here, so we can't. He doesn't get to complain about this because we are all big video game and Nintendo fans, particularly. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I think we all played the shit out of that last year. People are going crazy with this game. I said it was Zelda plus Minecraft because of all the crafting you can do in this game and making crazy things. And so someone has gone above and beyond. This is user Real Dead One, and I can imagine he is really dead from all the hours he put into this game to do this. He spent 197 hours of gameplay to capture all the footage he needed to recreate, the Transformers, the original G1 Transformers theme animation in Tears of the Kingdom. So this is a 33-second animation sequence of the original G1 opening sequence. Let's play it and see how it looks.
And Dr. Pants and I have not seen this yet, so this will be our first exposure to it. That's hilarious.
Oh my God. It's impressive, but holy crap. Holy crap. It's like, it's so bad and so good. And I appreciate all the work they put into it.
Yeah.
Good God. Wow.
So you have on screen, someone did, Real Dead One did a side by side as well. I play this without the sound, but it's so impressive, and it's just so much skill kind of figuring out what to do to get all the pieces together and make this happen.
I mean, there's only so many pieces you can use in this to recreate the Transformers. The fact that they were able to do the sound wave ejecting something from his chest is actually my favorite part of it. Like, my God, this is so good. Real Dead One, if you ever listen to this podcast, like, just know that we appreciate you for your work and the 200 hours you put into this. And it's crap like this that makes me hate Tears of the Kingdom, because I feel like I didn't do enough in that game.
Yeah. I haven't done any of the, like, weird crafting stuff or the torturing of the Koroks and stuff that seems to be what most people are doing.
Yeah. My god.
Yeah, super impressive. My one nitpick is that the audio they used, I think, was taken from the Rhino DVDs that added the extra sound effect, and I hate that.
Yeah. And listening to it, I don't know if it will come through in the edited version of the show, but when I was listening to it, it was like left and right going back and forth, and it was weird stereo mix, but that's on Rhino, I believe.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can just take this footage and replace it with the original G1 soundtrack and it'll be fine. So, but yeah, this is super impressive. Even like showing some of the, like, I mean, it's not full like animated transformation, but it does show some of the transformations in the scenes there. Showing the sound wave eject. That was cool. Showing Megatron transforming into a gun and up in the air like that. That was really cool.
I would be fascinated to see a making of and just have him explain how he did some of it with what he did. Cause it's just, I don't know what pieces you would use for some of it. And
there is a behind the scenes on this channel and then a bloopers video.
Oh, well.
Yeah. The behind the scenes is 14 minutes long and the bloopers is a minute.
I can watch 14 minutes of behind the scenes. I'd be to see how he did it or how they did it. So fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah. I think they got an article written up in Game Rant and in Destructoid. So, very cool that they made all the video game news sites. So
just insane.
Yeah.
Just insane.
All right. Well, let's move on with our big review for this week.
All right. We are reviewing, as mentioned in the toy show, the Free Comic Book Day Energon Universe 2024 special, which is Free Comic Book Day, and I believe it's out this week. If you want to buy any of the millions of covers, well, not millions, but here, TF Wiki has all the various covers here. There's going to be 10 total covers. Free Comic Book Day is just one, but then you can go and buy any of these other covers they got. I don't know why you would want, there's no extra comment or content in the one you buy, but you know, you do you. I don't know. Fedman has broken me on the covers.
Yeah.
But this was a good book. Let me get my notes up here. And so this has three stories in it. There's a Transformers.
Spoilers for everyone.
Oh, sorry. Yes, and this is completely spoilers. It came out on Free Comic Book Day. If you don't have it, then stop watching now if you don't want to be spoiled. But so there's a Transformers story, a Void Rival story, and a G.I. Joe story. And before I get into it, since Daryl's not here, he did kind of show us because he helps out at his comic shop, and he showed us like on, was it Wednesday, I think, that he got to see his copy. And I asked him, you know, what he thought. He was like, Transformers good, G.I. Joe bad. So there's Daryl's review. But I think
Void Rivals, okay.
He didn't mention it, but I don't think he had actually read it at that point. But we'll have a more nuanced view, I'm sure. So the Transformers story was written by Daniel Warren Johnson, artist by Ryan Otley, colorist is Elisa Leone. Void Rivals was written by Robert Kirkman, artist is Lorenzo De Felici, colorist is Mateus Lopez. G.I. Joe was written by Joshua Williamson, artist is Jason Howard, colorist is Mike Spicer. The letter for all of it is Russ Wooten, editor for all is Sean Makowitz, designer is Andreas Juarez. Production is Ashby Florence. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a summary of all three stories, and then we'll talk about it and break down what our thoughts were on everything. So the Transformer story starts. It's the battle on the Ark. Megatron is in his element, plowing through the Autobots to reach Optimus Prime. Brawn continues not having any luck when facing Megatron on a ship, and he gets blasted through the chest. Megatron and Optimus finally meet each other. Optimus asks Megatron to stop, but Megatron mocks him for the request. Megatron blames Optimus for everything that's happened to their world, and he tries to rip out of one of Prime's optics. Optimus activates his Energon axe, and he slices off Megatron's blaster arm. Then he kicks Megatron towards the open airlock of the ship. Megatron asks a nearby Starscream for help, but of course Starscream sees this opportunity and he blasts Megatron, forcing him to fall on his own to the planet below. Waking up in the present day, Megatron yells Starscream's name. The scientists in Cobra Law are alarmed as there's nothing that they can do to shut him off. An armless Megatron rips himself free and stomps on one of the scientists. The other one begs for his life, and Megatron agrees to let him live if he finds out where his arms are. The scientist says they only have one, and he points them to a door where it was. Megatron kicks the door open, and he reconnects his arm as Globulus catches up to him. Megatron fights the beast that he's riding on and shouts that he belongs to no one. Globulus says that Megatron is mistaken as he stabs a spear into Megatron's remaining optic. Megatron then rips out the spear, and he manages to launch himself through the top of the cavern and out of the mountain. Weak, blind, and on an unknown planet, Megatron's only thought is that he's coming for Starscream. All right. Void rivals. We see the Skuxoid being held at gunpoint by Slizardo. He was supposed to bring the special alloy to Slizardo, but he explains about what happened with the Quintessons. When he reveals that it was a Zertonian material, another voice spoke up. Hot Rod reveals himself and demands to know everything about the ship. Hot Rod says he's looking for a lost friend that's looking for ancient Cybertronian artifacts. The Skuxoid tells Hot Rod everything he knows, but he does this off-panel. Then Hot Rod is off to Quintessa, and the Skuxoid says he's going home to his wife and kids. The G.I. Joe story starts with General Hawk being upset with Duke about a choice he has for the new team. Duke wants the Baroness, thinking that she'd be valuable as an ally and more dangerous if she is working for their enemies. Later, we see a masked figure trying to capture the Baroness. Baroness holds her own and manages to escape when Duke shows up on a motorcycle and offers her a ride. He explains his team to her, and she reluctantly signs up. Elsewhere, General Hawk is looking over a lot of confidential folders with various members of Joe's teams, the Dreadnoughts, Destro, with a photo of a mass device teleporter, and many other things, including a folder with the Autobot logo on it. As the mass figures walked in, Hawk tells them they went easy on her. Helmets removed, Flint replies that they were supposed to bring her in alive, and Lady J adds that Duke wasn't a part of the plan. Hawk says that it worked out anyway because Baroness is bonding with Duke. And also due to his recent trust issues with Duke, this second team that they're making is Duke isn't supposed to find out about that. So that's the three stories. I think in order of interest, I think it would be Transformers, Void Rivals, G.I. Joe, but I think Transformers was the biggest one in my mind. The Megatron stuff we've all been waiting for. And we got it. And we got Megatron kicking ass. I feel sorry for poor Brawn. One of the strongest Autobots. And just Megatron twice just kills him on the ship. I'm hoping that Megatron shows up in the Transformer series soon, because this is a Megatron that I like to see just kind of just determined and violent and, you know, just looking forward to seeing what happens when he sees Optimus Prime and has his other arm. The Void Rivals thing, I think Hot Rod was a big surprise, and I don't know. I mean, we know from spoilers and everything, a familiar character is showing up in, I think it's issue 8. And nine. I don't know if nine. That... Oh, nine? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's who Hot Rod is looking for or if it was Jetfire. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know if Hot Rod's even really had a lot of interaction with Jetfire in fiction to this point. But I'm looking forward to seeing him show up, and I'm hoping that Void Rivals can end up being kind of the more space-based of the Transformers characters in addition to the Zertonian stuff that we're getting. And I think we did see, like, in 2025, they're looking at Void Rivals toys coming out. So, and the G.I. Joe just continues the whole espionage political thriller stuff that I'm digging. I know Daryl doesn't like it at all, but I love it. And I love seeing, like, all those different classified folders and, like, seeing the Mass Device, which, if you've watched the G.I. Joe cartoon, you know that was a major arc in the TV show. So General Hawk knows a lot more than he's leading on, and I'm here for all of it. So, Dr. Pants, what was your thought on all of these?
So I agree with order of interest, but I did like the G.I. Joe story quite a bit. I'm not Daryl. I'm not going to hate on it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But in terms of the Transformers one, I like the characterization they gave Megatron, because he's not just, you know, a giant jerk. The whole thing in the beginning is like, I see your struggle. You fight with honor and passion. If only your cause was just. And then he blows Brawn away. And it's like, I like that. I like that a lot. I like his fight with Optimus Prime. It's really good. And like, so much of what he says is great. And of course, you know, we get to see Starscream being Starscream and doing that thing that he does. So, I am so glad. I didn't read the last part of the book where they kind of ran through everything. I did not understand who these people were that Megatron was being held by. I didn't realize it was Cobra Law.
You'd not been reading the Cobra Commander book?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. That's
Cobra
where all
Commander
that
number one. Yeah, you should have read Cobra Commander number one before this.
I probably should have, because I was just like, what is he on an alien planet? And then at the end, he stumbles out into the snow. And I'm like, well, that's where he is. So why are they on Earth? Who are these people? And when you said that, it was like, that makes
sense. Yeah. Joshua Williamson is going right into the weird side of G.I. Joe with that.
Yeah, I see that. I see that.
I tried to avoid spoiling you when we did our last Cobra Commander review. I told you to go back and read number one, and because there was a Transformers reference in there.
Sorry.
Guess you never got around to it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Now I know. Now I know. I have one.
And knowing is half the battle.
I have one complaint, and it is a dumb complaint, but Megatron goes, when they're like, you belong to me, he says, I belong to no one. The line is, I belong to nobody. They missed an opportunity. Yeah. If you're going to say that line as big as that, you quote it correctly. Come on now.
Yeah.
So it's a dumb complaint, but I also just love seeing Megatron just blind flying out of this place in a rage, and his last thought is, I'm going to kill Starscream.
Yeah.
The Void Rivals one was cool. I know this is from the first six issues. These characters here, talking about the Quintessons and everything, I know that played a bigger part, because I didn't jump in until issue seven. I do like the art in this quite a bit, and I like the way they drew Hot Rod. Also, I felt like Hot Rod acted like Hot Rod. The way he talked and everything felt very young, punk kind of thing. Yeah, like, look at that. That just looks cool. Mm-hmm. I think they did a really great job with that. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's looking for Springer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I agree.
Because we know Springer is showing up in issue 9. And it would make sense with the connection in the 86 movie that he'd be looking for him. Because we've seen a couple of characters on Cybertron from the 86 movie, so it would make sense he'd be looking
and
for somebody else.
Skeksoid is from season 3 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I am. You know what? I didn't watch a whole lot of season 3 growing up, and I have not gone back and watched the G1 series in a very long time.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched it, but it's just when we first did Void Rivals, and I was like, who is this? And I think it was Charles that filled us in.
Of course it would be Charles. Charles is the encyclopedic knowledge of, like, G1 things. If you don't know, he probably does.
But Slizardo was also in season 2 and season 3 of the G1 cartoon. So in season 2, he was partnered with DevCon in that one episode. of the game. I was called, was it called The Gambler, I think, or whatever, yeah, whatever that I think episode so, yeah. is. So, and then in season three, he was, Slizardo was working with Skuxoid in that episode. So I forget which episode it was in, but they were working together.
Okay. Well, there we go. There we go. Didn't know that. Okay. Well, I forgot about the season two episode. I'm glad you brought that up.
And so Springer's also, you know, movie in season three. It does make sense.
It does. Who is the one who's in the shadows in the last panel? Do we know that from Void Rivals or something where it's like, is it as you suspected, my lord? Do we know?
No, that's a mystery. That's a genuine mystery.
Okay.
As to who that is.
Okay. I'm suspecting it's related to the Zertonians, but that's just a guess.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it looks robotic, but it doesn't look like a Cybertronian. It looks human robot sized. It might be like I don't know. I have no idea.
I wasn't sure if it was something I had missed in a previous Void Rivals or something else that was connected. I wasn't sure, but
nope.
And then the G.I. Joe story was fun and action-y, and I kind of like the twist that like Duke is recruiting Baroness, which connects back to then the Duke series because they had met up there and everything, and that was cool. The art is really stylized and just – I kind of dig it. The action scenes are like super intense. And then it's just weird to see Baroness do the whole Yo-Jo wearing a star-spangled like outfit, and it's like – that's weird, but it's cool. That's a really good image.
I don't know if either of you are big Joe fans who would know where that outfit comes from. If that is like some reference to Baroness switching sides to working with the Joes at some point.
I don't know. I'm not big enough Joe fan. I haven't
no
consumed
idea.
All the media.
No idea. Yeah, I was I liked G.I. Joe as a kid, but I do not remember much of it at all. And of course, the ending where, you know, General Hawk's like, oh, yeah, we're making more than one team. There's this cool espionage thing going on. I really like it. This was honestly, for the first time in a number of years, this was one of the Free Comic Book Day issues where I feel like I actually got my money's worth. Not my money's worth. That's not the line. I feel like it was worth picking up, and it's not just, you know, extra paper hanging around my house. Cause I feel like so many Free Comic Book Day issues, it's not really worth it. It doesn't add anything, but this adds a lot to a lot of the stories.
It's worth making sure you keep a copy, in your box with your other comics.
Exactly. Yeah. It was more than just a preview. This was nice. And I think it was a good way to, I think, get people hooked too, because it does a lot without really going into the story too much for any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did a really good job with this. I liked all of it. And whoever did the art for the Transformers book, cause it's not the typical Transformers artist, correct?
Ryan Ottley, who is a, Daryl was really excited when he heard Ryan Ottley was doing the art.
He did a really good job. It's almost like the regular artwork.
Well, you know, after issue 6, Daniel Warren Johnson is no longer doing art.
Oh.
But the new artist does do a good job of continuing that style, but it's not this guy. Okay. But Ryan Ottley is. Yeah, Jorge Corona.
Oh, so, I was going to say, because I read issue 7 and I didn't even notice the artwork had changed.
Yeah. So that's a new artist. But then Ryan Ottley is a pretty well known, I think, from Marvel books.
Okay. And Invincible. He did like the majority of Invincible.
Wow.
The run of Invincible, except for like the first 6 or 7 issues.
Well, he did a damn fine job, because the artwork looks really cool. It kind of has that look of the normal series, but kind of not. But it's still really, really good. And the action scenes are just fantastic. Love it, love it, love it.
Awesome. So, Charles, what were your thoughts?
I pretty much agree with what you guys said. I think each of these little stories were really kind of nice self-contained stories. The Transformers story was the majority of the book. I counted it. It was 14 pages for the Transformers story, 6 pages for the Void Rival story, and then 8 pages for the G.I. Joe story. So, I think Daryl would be happy with the majority of the page count going to Transformers stuff.
Yeah. So if you thought my reviews for the other two stories were short, it's because the page count was short.
one thing that I would say, the Void Rivals story does not really sell Void Rivals. It's basically a Transformers story. Mm-hmm. The Void Rivals are nowhere to be found. They get a little bit of a mention. But it's like you're reading a G.I. Joe story with no Transformers in it. It's a Void Rivals story with no Void Rivals. It's just Transformers. And I mean, depending on your feelings with Void Rivals, you might think that's a bit of a bait and switch, but I mean, it is kind of an advertisement to say, hey, pick up the story continuing in Void Rivals 9, which, you know, we are going to get a big Transformers, reveal in Void Rivals 9. So maybe this, you know, and I think that's why it's more likely that Hot Rod is looking for Springer. Because he's that ties directly into the next issue of Void Rivals. I really also liked the Megatron characterization. Of course, the artwork on all three stories I thought was really great. The Ryan Otley's work on the Transformers story was really evocative, especially like all the detail with the burned out sockets of Megatron's eyes when both eyes are kind of destroyed. You can see all the mangled wires and things in there. I think that looked really, really cool.
I just saw where Megatron lost his first eye, because I didn't see that before. Starscream shot it out when he was shooting at him.
Yep.
These Transformer books are visceral. Yeah. Like, I remember More Than Meets the Eye being visceral. This cranks it up. Good God.
And I wonder what, like, also I liked the detail of Megatron being, he's not bloodthirsty. Like Starscream was like murdering humans with glee. Megatron is very much like, he's not sadistic. He's just, you know, he expects to rule everything. And all these creatures are beneath him, but that doesn't mean he just wants to murder them. He's like, hey, I'll let you live. You followed my directions, so I'll let you live, and I'll get my arm back. But then when he's attacked, he's like, oh, you want to come at Megatron? Well, let's go. I'm happy to oblige you if you want to try and take me down. But you know, he's not just gonna murder indiscriminately. He's kind of a warrior with his own sense of honor and his own goals, which is not just to cause chaos, which I think is what makes him a much better Decepticon leader than Starscream, as we saw Starscream's disastrous leadership in the first 6 issues of Transformers. So
he seems to be
I like
of
that
an,
contrast.
Yeah, he seems to be more of an ideologue than a mustache twirling Megatron. Like, when his conversation with Optimus, he says how Optimus's plans were weak, or, you know, blames him for the fall of Cybertron. And then later on, he talks about the Decepticons being the true way. So I like that. I like him. He's not being evil for the sake of being evil. He's, mm-hmm. there's a, he fully believes in his cause.
Yeah.
It's, To sidetrack a little bit, it's just nice in general in the Transformers book that we kind of get the best version of Megatron and what I think is the best version of Prime, because this isn't the IDW Prime at the end of the IDW 1 where he was really wishy-washy and, oh no, what do I do? But Prime is a leader and doing his thing, and Megatron is not just a sick, twisted individual who's like, ah, yes, power. He has principles. So it's nice to see both of them, and I look forward to when we actually get back to Prime and Megatron against each other. But all these series have been really good. And if anybody picked up the Free Comic Book Day issue and you haven't read any of these, read them all. Even Void Rivals. Void Rivals is fun.
I saw that the first trade for Void Rivals is already out because I saw that on the shelves in my store.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, I didn't know that was out already. Okay, cool.
Yeah, with Megatron, I am anticipating. I'm anticipating one, his reaction when he finds out Starscream is already dead, if he's really dead. If maybe he'll be like, "Let's go. I want to confirm this death. I want to dig up the corpse and make sure he's
bring
dead.
Him back to life so he can kill him again.
Dig him up and double tap."
Then the other thing I'm looking forward to is when he confronts Optimus for using his arm. He's like, "Look, you've got something of mine. I'm taking it back." And let's see what that where that confrontation leads. I am looking forward to that. I thought the G.I. Joe story was fun. I feel like Hawk is a little bit too convoluted in his scheming. I think he needs to stop manipulating Duke so much because Duke is not gonna. Like he's already done it to Duke once in the Duke series, and now he's manipulating Duke. He's like, "Oh, I've got a second team. I've got all these other machinations going on." Duke's going to find out, and he's going to be pissed. There's going to be fallout from Hawk continuing to manipulate him and have all these different balls in play here. So I'm curious to see where that's going to go. Curious to see how long Baroness is going to be on the Joe team before she betrays them. And then curious where Flint and Lady J and their team are going to fit in to the whole G.I. Joe stuff. I would like, if I'm asking for things for the future of the Energon universe, Transformers theme miniseries, please. I mean, they're building up like they're doing a slow burn with building up G.I. Joe with multiple miniseries. But it feels like you've got more books on the shelves than you've got more Joe books on the shelves than Transformers books continuously. And this is the Energon universe. This is not the Joe universe. It's the Energon universe. So. We need more Transformers themed books. And Void Rivals, I don't think really counts because Transformers are side characters there. They're not the main characters. So, you know, let's see a Blur miniseries. Let's see, an Ultra Magnus miniseries. Let's see.
Hot Rod and Springer in space.
Yeah, sure.
I would read the crap out of that.
An Alita 1 miniseries with her continuing her adventures. They showed a little bit of that in Transformers number 7.
I'm gonna be the one who's like, actually, please don't do that. Honestly, because one of the things I cannot stand with comics is when I have to read so many books to keep up with what's going on. And it's already... Like the Transformers, I'm just reading Transformers, and already I got to a point where I'm like, where is Megatron? What is going on? And oh, I should have read Cobra Commander number 1. Like, I get that it's the Energon universe, but don't spread me too thin.
Right. Thankfully, Megatron's extent in the Cobra Commander book has been he'd been trapped there, and then
yeah.
Cobra Commander left and did the Cobra Commander stuff. And then, so we just knew Megatron was here.
Right, right. But my thing is like, I didn't know who those people were, and they never once in the book say, "Oh, we're Cobra La." I mean, I realized at the end of the book, I could have read longer into what they said and been like, "Oh, it was Cobra La. That makes sense." But like,
yeah. And when we did the review of Cobra Commander number 1, Daryl had the same reaction. He was like, "I have no idea who these people are." And so if you weren't a Joe fan, if you hadn't watched G.I. Joe, the movie a million times, you would have no idea.
I actually do know who Cobra Law is, so I'm fine with that. I just didn't realize in the comics that's who those people were.
Yeah.
But so it was a little awkward, and I'm hoping it stays more like that, where it's kind of nice little nods to things, and I don't have to read a million books to keep up with just the one I want to read.
Yeah, I think that's the goal that they've stated, but it's going to get harder once you get to where. Like Hot Rod comes to Earth and interacts with Optimus, you're going to have to be like, "Oh, you want to know where Hot Rod's been? Read Void Rivals."
Yeah, but hopefully it doesn't play a huge part into Transformers where I don't have to read Void Rivals to get like to enjoy the book. Right. All I'm saying is it's just the state of comics. It's like, if I want to read Spider-Man anymore, I feel like I have to read like 20 different Spider-Man books because of the Spider-Verse and everything they've done with that. And it drives me nuts.
On the whole, I feel like they're doing okay.
Yeah. And Charles, I'm sorry. A miniseries or two is not bad. I'd be okay with like, give me an Ultra Magnus miniseries. Tell me what happened with him before all this. That would be fine. I don't want to see too many Transformers books on the shelves because, I mean, that was also an issue at one point with IDW where it was Robots in Disguise that became Transformers, that became Optimus Prime, while there was More Than Meets the Eye with Lost Light. And then we had stuff like the Titans Return book that was coming out at the same time as that until All or One was coming out. And it's just, I want to read one book. I just want to read one book.
I think particularly with the Ultra Magnus thing, I mean, we got that hint in a recent issue of Transformers. Give us a Cybertron book and an Earth book, and Charles and I will be very happy.
I would be okay with that. I can do two books. If you split the story between those two places, I'm okay with that. No more.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that's it for me.
All right. Well, I think that's it for our review. It was, like Dr. Pan said, it was, you know, a very good Free Comic Book Day book in terms of quality of content that you get, which has been a rarity these days. So, you know, if you didn't get it, see if your store still has a copy. If not, I think they're usually online for free through whatever Comixology has become at some point, but you can find it if you look hard enough, or you can buy the copy next week in the comic bookstore.
Well, this week it'll. Oh, I think
this
it's
week
in, it's
time
in
travel.
This, yeah.
All right.
Right. Well, let's finish up the show with some feedback. All right, just one comment from YouTube this week. This is actually a comment that comes on one of our episode Alt Mode 385, which was from a few weeks ago. This was our review of Transformers number 7, where we were, you know, we were talking about what's going on. We were reviewing that book. I think we did probably mention what was going on, like wondering when Megatron was going to come into the story. Cause of course, at that point we had not seen the Free Comic Book Day issue. And this was, this was like 4 weeks ago. But, this comment came in just a couple of days, like it came in a couple of days before the Free Comic Book Day book was released. So, Mass Effect fan FE8MO writes, Megatron is in pieces right now in the Cobra Commander miniseries. It's probably going to be a while before we see him.
Voiceover. It was just a few days.
So, I mean, of course, Mass Effect fan FE8MO, you had no idea what was coming. So no, and we can't fault you for making that prediction. Of course, you know, you were not right this time because we now have Megatron. Megatron just escaped from Cobra Law and will probably be making his way into the Transformers book relatively soon.
On that note, I do think it's in one of the early issues. We do see a shot of Megatron on the mountain in the snow.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I'm not. And that always confused us, too, because we were like, he was in pieces. How is he not in pieces?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think that was meant to be a flashback. Like he was frozen in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a flash forward. I don't know. Cause I thought he was frozen in the ice and then Cobra La dug him up and found him and started.
It wasn't clear either way.
Yeah. It's been a little wonky with the timeline for that. They haven't really gone in and been like this many years in the past, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see. Wait and see. But I have a feeling we may see him sooner rather than later, since they are doing the whole, we're rebuilding our armies from pieces. And, Soundwave's in charge now. And Soundwave, And Soundwave loves Megatron.
Yeah. He would, I get the feeling he would gladly cede control to Megatron if Megatron was back.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. Of course, at the end of every episode, we give a shout-out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. These are the folks who continue to support the podcast at our highest level on Patreon, which is why they deserve a mention in every episode. So thank you once again to John Forex Levengood and Demon Tech 82. You guys rock. And Dr. Pants, thank you for joining us this week on both the Toy Show and Alt Mode. And why don't you tell everyone where they can find you online?
If you're watching this online, you can see there's a link tree right below my name that takes you to the link tree for Nerdstradamus, where all of our links to all our social media exists. But our main outlet is the YouTube channel. If you're listening to this, it should be in the show notes. Please go check out our YouTube channel where we post all kinds of fun videos. It's me and my friends. And there should be a new episode up this week. So that should have gone up by the time you listen to this. And it's me and my friends proving how terrible we are at video games. Please go watch it.
Awesome. All right, everyone. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.